Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
How are you doing today, Julie?
Oh, I'm good. How are you, Andrew?
I'm doing good.
It's good to see you.
So good to see you. How do you take your coffee in the morning or around noon?
I don't. I've never tried coffee.
You've never tried coffee?
I should have told you that because this is the coffee. You probably wouldn't have had me on. You'd be like,
I still would have had you on.
You'd be like, wait, I adore you. The coffee shop. We only serve coffee. Like, what? You can't be a part of this. It's not.
Well, I know you start your day with 1.5 Eggo waffles and an egg white omelet.
You're close. 1 3/4. It's not 1 3/4.
1 3/4.
It's just 3/4. So it's half of 1.5. It's just 3/4.
Okay. 3/4.
3/4 of an Eggo waffle. Mm-hmm. And an egg white omelet.
So do you take any caffeine or anything like
Mountain
that?
Mountain
Dew.
A small, tiny baby can of Mountain Dew. I've worked my way down. It used to be like a 16 ounce, and then it went to 12, and now I'm at 8 or 8.5. I can't remember. I thought it was 10, and then the other day I noticed it said like 8 or 8.5. I was like, dang, I thought it was a whole 10 ounces I was getting, but it's not. It's just, it's never quite enough when it's that tiny of a can. Mm-hmm. But I've stepped down from the 12 ounce. I feel like I think 10 ounces would be a good amount, but I don't know. Anyway, yes, Mountain Dew. That's my coffee equivalent.
So why do you eat the same thing every day for every meal, or for breakfast at least?
I love it, and it makes me happy, and it's nice knowing what I'm going to eat every day. I like that. I love getting up and I make my food and I start the day and I know what it's going to be and it's yummy And it never lets me down, and I've never gotten bored of it. And when I do, I'll switch to something else probably, if that ever happens. But so far, it is a very fulfilling lunch, breakfast slash lunch, because I get up and I eat breakfast for lunch, basically.
Because you work from noon till 2 or 4 o'clock in the morning, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Gosh. I will have a break for dinner. Mm-hmm. And like a hike. I went on a hike this afternoon and I just got in. That's why I probably look like a total mess. I ended up on this trail, and then I was like, we're going to take this shortcut back, but I'd only tried the shortcut at night and ended up having to go anyway. But I got back in time, but I didn't have time to like look in a mirror. So my hair is, I'm probably all covered in like dust and dirt. And
the camera doesn't show it.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, I was hoping it's dark enough in here, but no. So I will take a break for a walk or a hike and dinner, and then it's back to work again. So
awesome.
To work till about 2 a.m. But then I do try to sleep until noon and get up at noon and eat my three-quarter Eggo and egg white omelet breakfast slash lunch, and then go right to work. And then like this morning I had a session at 11 there in Spain, and I tried to talk them into doing like a 2 a.m. session or a 3, because 2 a.m. is 11 o'clock there. Mm-hmm. And that would have been, you know, not too early for them, but I think they were night owls too and didn't want to do anything before noon. So
gotcha.
So they're like, so we ended up doing it 11 o'clock my time, which is fine, but I did have to actually break the typical noon thing. I did a session at 11 this morning, and I had a thing yesterday at 10, and tomorrow I have a noon one. So I've been getting up earlier lately.
Hmm.
But if I don't have anything, then my alarm is set to noon. If I don't have any sessions in the morning, so
awesome. So what is your VO origin story? Like, how did you find your way into this industry? Were you in music first?
Yeah. Yep. Did okay. Music. So in school I did acting, but also music. Like, it was hard to, because there's only so many arts classes you could take.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was kind of hard, because I always was doing music or drama. And at one school, I had to actually drop. Well, I guess I didn't have to. No, it's right, because I still, it's so confusing there, the way they had it set up at the school I went most of the time. It was speech and debate, because that didn't actually count as like a theater class. And mm-hmm. So that's how I was able to still do acting a little bit and because in speech, then we would do storytelling, or we would do our monologues and things like that. Or you do the duet. I can't remember what they called it. But then at the other school, in order to do theater, I had to drop one of my music things. So it was kind of like, I don't know, it was just kind of tricky. But anyway, and then after high school, like right after high school, or I guess right after graduating, we got signed to a label, and we were touring. So it was music. And so there was a lot of time where I couldn't pursue anything acting wise. I mean, I guess I could have, but it was hard. We were very focused. It was like the focus was music. That was the thing. We were mm-hmm. constantly either touring or writing. And it wasn't until we had a break after, like, where we had a longer break than usual between releasing albums, that I started taking acting classes just to kind of get back into it. We were living in Dallas, and I didn't know anyone, so I thought, oh, okay, I'll do an acting class, get to meet other actors, and and everything, and just kind of see what it's like here in Dallas, see what the, you know, what the acting scene is like, whether it be theater or on camera. But I didn't really want to do on camera. I just liked acting. So, one of the teachers that I went to, the coaches I went to, she knew that we had a studio and that I did music, and she knew that I was like, I didn't really like to be on camera. And so she's like, what about voiceover? You know, you have a studio, right? So you have all the equipment probably, and then you don't have to be on camera, but you can still act. And I was like, what is that a thing you can do, like full time? Like you can actually do it, right? And I just, my mind was kind of blown, which is crazy because, I mean, I'd done a few voiceover things here and there, but I guess it was just because people would ask, you know, they would need a voice for, you know, a game project, just something, you know, or even a trailer, like a game trailer. And it was just like friends projects, you know, and, or like radio, like, you know, when we would tour and we would do, we'd go to different stations and they would interview the band, they would have us do station IDs. So a lot of times they'd have me do them. Sometimes I would even do them virtually. And so, you know, there were little hints of voiceover here and there, but I just never thought that there was a lot, that there was enough work out there that people did it for a career, like full time, until she said that. And so I was just like, oh my God, like, I don't know. It was just crazy because at that point I was just like full steam ahead with voiceover and like coaching and getting ready, getting demos and, you know, trying to meet other voiceover people, going to, you know, conventions like VO Atlanta I went to, and I felt like the first one I went to, I was like, so new. I was like, oh my God, they probably won't even let me in, you know, like, because I don't have, you know, I'm so new and all these people have so much experience. And anyway, so it was kind of, I remember the first year was kind of scary because I had only been, I think I'd only been doing it for like 6 months, I guess. But I already had, quite a few bookings at that point, but I don't think I had an agent yet. I don't know. I just didn't know. I didn't know if I would be welcome in or not, being that I didn't have, you know, that much experience. But everyone was super welcoming and nice and made lots of good friends that, you started just seeing every year and getting excited to see them every year. So anyway, they were very welcoming and very kind. So, I don't know. I guess that's how I started. Once she told me that, the coach told me that, I felt a little like, oh my gosh, how did I not know this? And I wish I would have started sooner. So then I felt like I was trying to run and catch up to something. I don't know what, like I was just playing catch up and like, it, you know, and I would just work at it, you know, 16 hours a day. And I actually woke up really early. I actually got out of my normal night owl sleep schedule because I just couldn't sleep, because it was like, wake up, you know, 8 a.m. look and see what jobs there are and what auditions there are and who I can, you know, send my demos off to. And like, and it was just like, you know, so, you know, it was kind of crazy the first 2 or 3 years, just because I did feel like I was playing catch up and didn't want to, you know, lose momentum. But anyway, that's how it all started, because luckily I had a coach who knew we had a studio. Now, granted, I had to buy almost everything brand new because like the equipment we had for music wasn't exactly fit for, we had two Rode NT1s that we would use for our music, and that, you know, so at least that was, is good enough to start with in a preamp, but yeah. Eventually it's like, okay, I need a better mic that's a little more sensitive, and right. And you start to, you know, once you start to learn editing, and I had to learn a new program because we never had used Audition really. And we had Pro Tools, and it's just a little, you know, multi-track recording type programs like Pro Tools and Logic. And so I so Audition, you know, just learning things like that, you know, so it was a little bit of a learning curve, and just in, you know, building up to the right type of equipment for voiceover versus music. But at least we had, I had something that I could start working with, you know, right away. And you know, so that was good.
So how are you balancing VO and music now? How are you balancing those two?
We're not doing music as much right now. There's definitely some stuff we need to do. But right now it's more voiceover, you know, full time, and then music we just fit in when we can or when someone asks us to do something. So, I definitely have been wanting to, you know, do more and write more. And I mean, still writing all the time, but the problem is I'm just not like putting it all together and finishing everything. So I have all of these songs that are almost done, but it's like, I really just need to get, you know, get the time to actually go in and pick, okay, what songs should we focus on for the next album and finish those. And right now I just have this like 40 different songs that I've started and haven't finished, and some have lyrics and some don't. Some just have like two parts and not, you know,
right.
And I don't know, but I just kind of like, for a while we used to pressure ourselves into doing, no, we have to do it. We have to get this out every year on this time. We have to, you know, it's like, not necessarily, it wasn't always like that, but the last two albums was like, we did two back to back, one after another, and in a year, and then the next year. And it was fine though, cause we wanted to do that. But then after that, you're just kind of like, oh, that was exhausting. And then, so I'm like, we just need to, you know, we'll do it when we have the time and we want to. Right now we're both really busy with our, you know, our own projects. I'm doing voiceover, and he has two games going on right now that he's working on, coming out this year. So then after that, we should have time to spend on music again. And we can, and if we need to in between, it's not like we won't, but it's like right now we're just kind of focusing on there's other things that we're focused on right now.
So, are you wanting to do more music for games? Because I know you guys have done something for an episode of SpongeBob. You guys have a song in Borderlands 2 and in Borderlands 3. So have you guys thought about doing game focused music?
Yeah, I mean, that would be fun for sure. And I definitely have an idea for one that I want to do. It is fun because sometimes outside of the band, I'll get to sing for a game, like There Is No Game, Wrong Dimension. My character Gigi had her own song that was, you know, we didn't write it, but it was, you know, the game developer actually was a composer before, and then he also worked with a composer, and they created this amazing soundtrack. And so it was fun getting to sing someone else's music for the character. So it's, I love it when I get to do that, because it's someone, you know, someone else has written it, and then I just get to come in and sing, and I don't have the pressure of like everything else, you know, the lyrics being just right. And, you know, is this the right, you know, is this the right ending? Is this, so in that way, it's kind of nice, and it's a little more freeing, I guess, in a way, because it's already laid out there, and you're just singing as the character. And so that was fun. So and there are other things that I've gotten to sing on, and I do like that. I like, you know, it's And then sometimes our music gets used in projects like that as well. Yeah, like the Borderlands 3, there's 5 songs in the game, and then Borderlands 2, there's 3, I think, 2 or 3. Mm-hmm. And no, it's 3. And yeah, SpongeBob, that was one that we specifically were asked to write for that episode. So it was just written from scratch for it specifically. Whereas the other songs were songs that were ours that were, you know, that were used. So we had already written those.
How did that come about?
Which?
With them asking you to write a song, like, did they already know you? Did they know your music? Did you know anybody on the team previously? How did that happen?
Yeah, just out of nowhere. Out of nowhere, Steven Hillenbrand's, I think it was his assistant or someone that worked very closely with him at Nickelodeon, reached out to us and said that she was told to track us down and ask us to ask us if we would write a song for an episode. And she said that we kind of had a guideline of like what mute. So he liked a specific song of ours. And, you know, so we knew he wanted something kind of like that as far as tempo went and the vibe of it went. And so we kind of used that as a guide as far as, you know, keep it kind of upbeat like that, kind of happy kind of. And yeah, so they sent us some stuff about that particular episode, so we knew. And they sent us some of the other previous songs that other bands had written and things, just to give us an idea on, you know, on that. And so yeah, so we wrote it. The interesting thing is that it's the whole band. It's there's 3 of us. And the funny thing was, they also released it on a soundtrack called the Yellow Album. It was a soundtrack album put together of music from some of the episodes. And when that came out, the second time it was released, so the second pressing of it, they forgot to put the music on it. It was just me singing a cappella. And it was interesting because I went to listen. Somehow I listened to, I played it back on like Amazon or Best Buy or something. Cause I was like, oh, they have it here. And I go to play our track and it's just me. And I'm like, when's the music going to kick in? Like maybe I thought they remixed it or something to like make the music come in later. And, it was never there. It was just me the whole time, singing a cappella. And so I reached out to our contact there, and I was like, did you know they left the music off? Anyway, no one really knows this whole story. And so she's like, oh my gosh, really? They didn't know it was an accident. It wasn't on purpose. It was just an accident. So some of the pressings is just me singing a cappella. And it's just, it wasn't planned like that. We didn't do that on purpose. But some of the pressings of the Yellow Album is just me.
That's awesome.
I feel so like, I don't know, it's weird without the music and just yourself. You're like, I feel a little exposed because, you know, it's like the music is so much layering. And the vocals are too. I mean, I recorded like a bunch of harmonies for it. So, I mean, it's, you know, but it's just interesting. And so some people had posted it on YouTube at some point, and they were like trying to figure out, why does some of these have music and sometimes it doesn't have music? And it's like, I don't know. It just is an accident, I guess, but I don't know. Anyway, so there you go. That's the whole story there.
Sweet.
But
and how long have you been doing voiceover?
I think it's 6 years.
Okay. So yeah. What are some new challenges that you're facing now that you weren't facing 6 years ago?
New challenges.
Yeah. Because this industry is forever evolving.
Yeah.
So how have you had to like address things differently than you did 6 years ago?
Well, now you got me worried that I need to that I need to address things different. I don't think I'm doing anything. Oh no.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I'm
sorry.
I'm not evolving. Now you put all this pressure on me to evolve, and I don't know. Maybe
if it's not broken, don't fix it, man. Like
I am. I'm pulling this a little closer. I'm trying to get rid of any echo. No, I don't know if I do anything. I mean, I will say I don't record in a closet anymore. I have my own booth. So, I mean, I think things evolve in that way where you'd kind of change the way you do things as you learn, you know, more and more what's better for you and what kind of makes sense. But yeah, when I first started out, instead of being in our studio, because the space was so big, it wasn't, I mean, it's not that it's a huge space, but I just mean, you know, it was, I needed like a smaller space that had, you know, a little more, not completely dead sound, but not as live sound, you know, sounding. And so I moved into the walk-in closet and I was there for the first year and a half and then got a booth after that finally. And so in that way, I guess I have, you know, that's changed kind of where I'm at. And then I guess, I don't know. I can't really think of anything else that, I mean, I still do the same things. I'm a creature of habit, really. I mean, I get comfortable, I guess, doing things a certain way and eating a certain lunch. And I try to, you know, just not rock the boat too much and do what, you know, seems like the right thing. And I just kind of stick with it until something pushes me in a different direction. But yeah, I don't know. I'm going to, what about you?
What about me?
Yeah. How would you answer the, I'm just curious. I'm just wondering like how things have changed.
Most of my changes have been, the way that I've been approaching marketing and the types of industries that I've been going into. Cause, a lot more animation and video games have been created due to the pandemic and things like that. And also the sound is a lot different because we had that little while where it was kind of like that, where the pandemic first hit and even the kind of comedic advertising was a little like awkward, you know what I mean? And then things started to slowly get a little more solemn. And then we started getting those new normal scripts. And then things started like slowly coming back to that kind of awkward comedy. And so like, there are all these like slopes that follow it. But as far as dubbing goes, I've been trying really hard to get into dubbing and it seems there's been a lot more saturation in the market. So I've been trying to find new ways to market myself and how to innovate my social media presence or how it maybe change up the ways that I'm marketing or things of that nature.
Cool. That's good. So yeah, more of a marketing approach, like how to reach a different demographic.
How to find
especially if you're switching,
different avenues.
Or not switching, but focusing on another genre like dubbing. Yeah.
Well, I'm always rotating. So I'll take like 3 weeks where I'm like, this is e-learning time. And so I'll take 3 weeks where I'm marketing to e-learning and then 3 weeks where I'm marketing to indie video game studios and then 3 weeks where I'm sending out to more agencies and then I just kind of rotate it.
Yeah. That's good.
What's good. You've done a lot of different kinds of voiceover. Is there something that you haven't done that you want to get into?
Good question. I think more live action dubbing would be fun. And just dubbing, like you were saying in general. So mostly I've done anime dubbing, but I've only done like 3 live action dubbing projects, and I think it would be really fun to do more of that type of work. And I guess I'm sure there's some, that's the cool thing about voiceovers, there's always something new coming up that you hear about and you're like, oh my gosh, that's something I can do. Like people.
Oh yeah. Now all that like, metaverse stuff is going on. And so there's like a lot more VR roles available.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I do like I do like doing VR stuff. I don't do it that much, but it is fun. Since I do a lot of AI voices, I'll end up doing virtual reality stuff sometimes for people. Mm-hmm. I would like to do more. The project today was another AI voice, and I don't know why. I love doing them so much. It's just finding the right balance of human and computer and what they want for their project. You know, how much human do they want? Do they want it completely mechanical and unfeeling and monotone, or is there a hint of humanity anyway in what they're looking for? So it's that I do love doing that a lot, and it would be fun to do more, but it is a decent amount of stuff that I do already, but I don't know, sometimes. But yeah, VR would be another. I haven't done a VR project in a while, I don't think. Maybe someday again.
So how do you conduct your marketing? What do you do to reach more people and get more jobs and hop on more rosters? And what does your process look like?
Well, I don't know. Used to. I liked networking and the fireworks. Here, let me see. Can you see the fire? Oh, no, you can't. Sorry.
No, nope, just your ring light. That would have been awesome. Just fireworks in the background while we're interviewing.
They just did it again. I was trying to show you the second ones, but there's too much glare from the window. Universal has their fireworks shooting off like every hour at Hogwarts. And anyway, they shoot up. Anyway, they just did it again. Now it'll probably be another hour before it does it. And now the ring light's there. And it was so dark over. It's so dark in here. Sorry. I tried. Maybe next time, if I know they're coming, time. I'll push that out of the way. And, marketing and reaching out, like networking is like, honestly, a big part of that for me, I think. And like just meeting people, and like conventions and like VO Atlanta, and that's VoiceOver, and, the One Voice conference, those are honestly the way I prefer to meet people and, you know, make connections that way. Because I just like talking to people and hearing about, you know, kind of what they do. And it's all fascinating, but the pandemic has not made that super easy, you know? So I haven't really done probably as much as I should, but I do have, I keep my demos updated, and I send those out to the rosters that I'm on, the updated demos when I get them, just, you know, it kind of lets them know I'm still here and I have some new demos and stuff that are out, and I just try to keep things current, and also try to keep updating my demos and add new work to them. Rather than do a whole new demo, I'll just update a couple of spots that I like that I've done and just update it and send those out. But otherwise, that's about it right now. I mean, I have an amazing manager, also who helps, which is good because I'm kind of bad at, reaching out to people on a consistent basis. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that she's there to help with that. Cause I feel like sometimes I worry too much about, am I bothering people too much? Am I not bothering them enough? Like, I am glad that kind of since the beginning, I've had someone to help kind of, you know, help with marketing and remind me of things like when it's time to do something or a new demo that I should probably get, you know, just things like that, that I may kind of be too relaxed about sometimes. I don't know. I'm always so busy, like, and that's the bad thing. It's like, if you don't consistently reach out and try to get more work, it's like, even though even when you have a lot of work coming in, if you don't have new work coming in, eventually it'll kind of taper off and then you have these dry spells. So that's why it's good to do what you're doing. I guess for me, I just get so busy working that I kind of forget. In the long run, it's always good to keep reaching out to people. And that, you know, that work that's coming in, things happen, businesses shift or new people come on board and they, you know, maybe have a different roster they put together. So, you know, things, you know, or businesses close down, whether it's from the pandemic not being kind to them or, you know, whatever it is, it's so always making new connections is important. So what you're doing is very good. I should probably do more of it, but, yeah, I'm probably not like a poster child for go get a marketing, I guess. I just like talking to people, you know,
that's all marketing really is just talking to people, yeah, finding I'm new just, people to talk to.
I'm just bad at talking to people, like not virtually like this, because this is different, but like right. Email. It's right. So personal. It's just so hard to just, I don't know, feel like you're having a human conversation. That's why I love like in-person kind of ways of meeting people. Mm-hmm. And it's just feels more natural to me to do. But I don't know. Yeah.
So whenever you are doing marketing, because I know there's a huge difference between a manager and an agent. And I have an agent, but I do not have a manager. Does your manager take a cut of all the jobs that you end up doing? No. Even if they're not through your manager?
No, only the ones that I get through them.
Okay.
So no cut of anything else unless it's one that I get through them.
So what are the major differences between a manager and an agency?
Well, a manager is typically, they're actually a little more, I mean, agents will get auditions in and they'll send them out to the talent on their roster. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they're being more selective about who, you know, they might say, okay, we're going to send this out to these 20 people because they fit the, you know, the mm-hmm. specs, or some go ahead and send out a little more broader, you know, broader range of, you know, just send it out to a larger, cast a bigger net, I guess you'd say.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not like a manager is a little bit different because they'll actually send out like email blasts to a bunch of different places trying to get more work or get more auditions or get more, not just take the auditions that come in and send them out. Mm-hmm. They're sending out stuff on your behalf specifically and saying, you know, here's a new project that she just worked on. Check it out. You know, listen to more of her stuff here. And they're following up and they're actually, so it's a little different. It's just, gotcha. You know, I'm not saying there aren't there aren't agents that do that,
mm-hmm.
but it's just, but usually I don't know any that do that type of stuff on a regular basis that are actually, you know, that are more like for each person on their roster sending out a, you know, an email specifically about what you've been doing and check out some of their new stuff and check, you know, it's more like the marketing that I should probably be doing myself, but they do it for me. And I like that because I feel like they know what they're doing better than I do when it comes to like reaching out to people and especially in an email kind of way where I'm more of a talker person. But yeah, so it's just good. It's like they're, and they'll get, it's kind of more also looking out for more rosters to be on, like production company, reaching out to production company. I mean, it's just different. It's a different kind of approach, at least from what I've experienced, you know, with between agents and managers. Now maybe there are some that do, you know, both the management and the agent side of things, but typically I haven't seen that really cross over much. So yeah, she's just looking for more ways to connect with people out there that need voices and knows kind of, I don't know. She is really good like that.
Gotcha. Yeah. So back to the animation side of things. I know that there are a lot of like characters that people kind of associate with certain voiceover artists, but what's a character that resonated with you that you've done where you got that script and you were just like, oh no, this is me. This character was made for me.
Oh, that's funny. Well, I think Gigi was one, even though she was technically a computer, and not human. She was very human though. But I don't know why I just connect to those kind of characters a lot. And her in particular, I think, because, well, I mean, she was so human at the same time, and having music, that was of course really, really, a big, huge thing for like exciting thing to get to do. I'm trying to think of like, who's like me. Oh, that's tough. A lot of the characters aren't really like me that much. But they are in a way. I mean, they're, you know, each time I guess they have a little bit of you in the. In
oh
a
yeah,
way.
You
I
always
mean,
add a
you know
bit of
I mean?
Your personality to the character, right? Right, right.
It ends up that way, but it's like, that's hard. Trying to think of. I liked Matsumai in Tokyo Ghoul a lot. She was very, like a very chill character, but very like badass, but very very contained and very, but she had like I don't know, she was loyal, but she had, this very, passionate side to her that, I don't know. I really liked that character a lot. I just liked how subtle she was and calm but efficient and effective, and when she had to be a badass she was a badass, and I definitely like that. I'm trying to think. Oh, and Rito and Urahara, that was, she was very sweet and funny, and I liked her a lot. I don't know, it's so hard. I mean, oh gosh. I'm trying to look at some new ones here. For some reason, I'm always drawn to the AI ones. Now, granted, I'm not like a Spider Woman, but I really did like Kalik in World of Warcraft a lot. The voice was more, it was just different from, you know, what I'd done before. And she's a really, really interesting character, being a creature. I don't do a lot of creature type voices, you know.
Oh, I love doing creature work.
Yeah creature, so it's cool, so because fun. She's a creature, she's not human. I mean, she's got all these legs and she's very, you know, it's just, I don't know, I really like that a lot. But I guess the question is, what's kind of like, what character was more like me, which I don't know. There really aren't. I don't know. I guess there are some that are very spazzy character. I am kind of, you know, like, that's me, you know, right. Usually. I don't know why. I guess that hike, I feel a little like, I feel a little more less energized than I usually am right now. Hmm. But that was a good hike. But I am kind of like, a little like drained a little bit now than I usually am. But usually, like, yeah, so the high energy characters that are like, you know, and then like Xena, I think she was, yeah, that kind of was the way she would just blurt stuff out. That is kind of like me when I'm like really angry or excited or, you know, yeah. So anyway.
Awesome. Yeah. So what is one underrated tool that you feel like is indispensable in your voiceover career?
Oh, that's a good one.
For you, like just one thing that you could not do your job without, other than the stereotypical microphone and pop filter, like just one thing specific to Julie.
Well, it's hard because I don't use this on a regular, I don't use it every day. Mm-hmm. But I do use music and, not all the time, not every day, but when I feel like I need to get somewhere that I'm not quite there, I will find a song that will take me where I need to be and listen to it while I'm recording. So very quietly, I'll listen to it louder first. And then when I hit record right before that, I'll turn it down. And so if I'm just not, like right now, since I'm kind of really like a little tired after the hike, if I needed to go in and do something really high energy, I would listen to something really upbeat. And like that would get me back in that tempo of, you know, where right now I'm just kind of like, you know, or sometimes if I need to be brought down a bit and just mellow out a little bit and do some, you know, maybe it's a more somber type voiceover, I'll play something that has a much slower tempo and maybe in a minor key and just put me in that more solemn mood, you know, and then record, and then it kind of calms you down and takes the voice down into a more, you know, quieter, soft tone, a little easier. I don't know. I don't do it every day, but it is a big difference. I did that in a session the other day.
I do that quite often. It does make a big difference.
So it's not something just for me, but I don't know if there is anything that's just for one person. I think, you know how it is, like anytime you have this, an idea, there's someone else that had the idea too. It's just the human, we're all, even though, so I don't think there would probably just be one thing that I just do someone else is doing it, but
right, but
and that's fine.
I guess I was more looking for something that's close to you, which music would be that.
Yeah. No, it's good. I did that. I'm trying to think of what set. Oh yeah, I was doing a session the other day, and I was like, "Do you have them?" You know, we'd already recorded a take, and but they wanted it. They wanted to do something with it. I think it was about the tempo, kind of getting it just right. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, do you have the music? Can you send it to me? And he sent it to me. And so I just played it in the background. While we recorded, and he was like, he'd never heard of that before. And he was like, oh my God. Do you have any other tricks like that that you could tell me about, you know? Because it just made a big difference, you know? And when you know what the music is that they're going to pick, it helps you as well, because then you know, oh, now I get it. Okay, now I understand. This is like really high energy here. And so it's okay to be a little more, you know, and not announcery, but, you know, just have a little bit more energy and like, a little more sales behind it. Like it's okay to really be pushing the product and be pushing right. this and that and that, because it's like boom, and it just worked really well having that music. And a lot of times we don't have that, and we have to come, then you just have to come up with something on your own that you think fits what the specs are. And but yeah, I don't know, music is really helpful.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, no, I'll do that with my agent, because when I had first made an introduction with my agent when I had first got signed, I asked a lot of questions about like, what's his process, who does he send stuff to, et cetera, et cetera. And so how they operate is they will go and they will get like maybe 100 voiceover artists, and they'll pick the top 10 that they think are the best, and then they'll go get the final commercial and play it with the music over it, and then go through and show like the top 10 to their clients. And so every time I always ask, well, hey, do you have the end product that I can like look at and that I can utilize that music to kind of make sure I'm carrying it the right way? I love using music to carry myself.
Yeah, that's good. I never would have thought, I've never asked an agent for the music. Sometimes they'll give it, but I've never thought to ask it. I guess I just figured if they didn't give it, they don't have it. But I guess if you're getting it a lot, are you getting it a lot?
Yeah, I get it about 75% of the time. They send me the music for it.
I had no idea. Mm-hmm. Well, just learned something new.
So if you were to go be able to write a letter to yourself and send it back into time before you discovered voiceover, what would you tell yourself?
I would say I would tell myself there's a thing called voiceover that you can actually do full time. So maybe don't go to school and get a design degree. And even though you like photography, maybe don't start that photography business and just go right into voiceover and focus on that. And yeah, all will be well. Because I feel like I liked that little detour that I had in photography, and I still love doing it, but I just do it for myself now. And I like not having my life planned out a year in advance, and not being able to have the freedom to travel or to do voiceover jobs that come up, like, because my previous work as doing photography, I couldn't do. Everything was scheduled out. And so you couldn't just say, this weekend I'm going to go here. Now, granted, voiceover would have worked okay in a way, because during the week is typically when your bookings are, and on the weekends is when I would be working. But so I maybe could have made, and I did make it work for a while. I kind of tapered off one when I started doing voiceover. I dialed back on, what I had been doing. But yeah, I would tell old me, or young me, I guess, because I would be younger, not older.
Right.
But to just go ahead and dive in a little sooner and not, kind of do that other thing. But it was fun. I mean, it was fun. I'm not saying I regret, doing that, but it would have been nice had I known. I probably would have gone a different direction.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's all fun. I tend to just do things that I really love doing anyway. And I love photography. So it wasn't like it was a, It wasn't like I spent all that time, being miserable somewhere doing something I don't love, but this I think is more in line. Voiceover is just more in line with me. It's just a little, I don't know what it is. I think it's a little more exciting because you don't know what you're going to be doing each day. And your life isn't pre-planned out ahead of you. You don't know what project you're going to be working on at any particular time. And you never know what booking's going to come in, what audition's going to come in. where it's going to take you. And I think that just fits more of what, you know, I like, what makes me happy. And, mm-hmm. And when you, you know, having a job that your life is planned out like a year in advance, for someone like me, that's very like, go where the wind blows, you know, kind of that it can, you can feel a little trapped a little bit. But it was, you know, but I don't want to poo-poo that, because it was a good life. It was creative. It was fun in that regard.
Mm.
But it didn't have the freedom, you know, didn't have the freedom that I have now. So, yeah.
Awesome, man. Well, thanks for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Prime Day es el 16 y 17 de julio. Con las ofertas épicas exclusivas para miembros Prime, recibe el reconocimiento que tanto mereces.
¡Wow! ¡Gracias! Ni siquiera preparé un discurso.
Quisiera agradecer a mi familia, que siempre necesita cosas. También a Sam, mi repartidor, por entregarme todas mis ofertas increíbles tan rápido. ¡Te adoro, Sam! ¡Mua!
Compra ofertas en electrónicos, hogar y más este Prime Day, del 16 al 17 de julio.